Good morning, I'm Madonna Guy, and you're here with The Natural Alternative. This morning, I'm so delighted to welcome Dr. Anna Mihaiachar. How are you, Dr. Anna?
I'm wonderful. It's afternoon for me in the United States. I'm so happy to be with you and to have this chat.
Yeah, I feel like people really need to get information at the moment that's up to date and current, and really looking at what's really going on behind, not listening to the governments, not listening to World Health Organization, who are doing all sorts of things. So tell us how you got here, Dr. Anna. How did you get to this place in your belief system and knowledge?
So my background is I'm a board certified internal medicine physician. And in 2019, I left that traditional allopathic healthcare system, opened up my own office and created an integrative health practice. I became a certified chelation practitioner. So I detox people from heavy metals. And I really worked in the anti-aging field. This is what I do, you know, working on reversing all diseases of aging. And then when this whole pandemic came around, I tried to do what I could to take care of our community and keep them out of the hospital. So, you know, I gave home kits of ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine. I prepared people. Eventually, when people got sicker, I bought oxygen tanks and I treated respiratory failure at home. I used to do ICU care. And I mean, people did great. I have a practice of about 1,000 people. And, you know, I had a couple people who went to the hospital and only one person passed away because they came too late. So this was the beginning. And then I started investigating shedding once the jabs were rolled out, and I knew that this was not a safe thing because, you know, there just wasn't any time to look at these technologies. I was very concerned about it. Then I found out about what was in the Pfizer document about shedding and started
and
looking
shedding
at.
Shedding is the same as transfection, isn't it? So people use those two terms simultaneously, or?
So here's sort of an idea, because it is forbidden to know what the heck is in the vials, you know, and we know that the batches change,
yes,
and the contents change. It's really hard to have a set in stone, this is it idea. Okay.
Yes. And many of the ingredients are made in different labs all around the world. So where they're getting from isn't even consistent.
Absolutely. And so there have been vials investigated that had no mRNA in them. And so they found metals. They did mass spectroscopy. It showed no phosphorus and no nitrogen, meaning there was no molecule of life. And so that means that those people who got a vial like that, they don't make spike protein because there wasn't anything to reverse transcribe into their DNA. So, wait a minute, how are we treating those people? And what else do we need to consider? And so this is where I started working with this international research group. I met David Nixon and started doing a lot of work in terms of finding out what he was seeing. I was just absolutely astonished because the first time that I looked at him under the microscope at a vial and I saw all of these structures that were floating around, I was like, oh my God, we're in trouble. And so then that really inspired me to learn as much as I could about nanotechnology, about, you know, all the other ingredients like hydrogel, about the possibility of graphene. And again, you know, use as much as I can with the tools that I have, which I bought a diacrophid microscope as well and started learning that. To see what is going on, how can I protect people? And so
Absolutely.
My views have totally changed over time.
Yes, and how lucky that you went into it in 2019. You must have been given a message, you know, that universal slap that said, come on, what are you doing, girl? Yeah.
Yeah, so I think that what is really important for people is it's very challenging for people to figure out, like, what is the truth? Okay. And so even in the medical resistance, you know, there is an agreement because there's a lot of people who say, oh, there is no nanotechnology, there's no graphene. Some
Like
people
Dr.
say
Ryan
there,
Cole and
yeah, some people, you know, say, oh, they're everything about COVID is and the shots is snake venom and take nicotine. Well, you know, I remember when I was looking at people who were taking nicotine, who believed that and they were getting sick and they had elevated D dimers and they got no protection. And I was just trying to explain to people, this isn't it. And I mean, the backlash that I got was quite interesting. And what I learned from that experience is that you cannot force people to see something. You have to, all we can do, you and I, is present information and say, I am in the process of uncovering the greatest mystery and conspiracy and tragedy in human history. And what we're trying to do is bring forth information that might protect people and help them deal with the consequences of maybe having gotten the shots or having long COVID symptoms. And what I'm advocating for is open-mindedness.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's people are so, they don't want to be called a conspiracy theorist, you know, since the CIA developed the term, you know, after JFK died. It's just sort of like, you know, no one wants to be that. Whereas these days, of course, you know, every conspiracy, it's only 18 months until it's full on fact. Yeah,
I think we're at 6 months by
we're
now.
getting
This is
closer and closer, aren't we? Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
So what is about this view, you know, if we are to survive as a human species, which I believe that we're currently in World War III, that all of humanity has been attacked by technological artificial intelligence, biosynthetic weapons. And that if we want to survive, we have to set aside aspects of concerns of social acceptability that limit our ability to investigate things. What do I mean by that? You know, so I'm a physician, you know, and I am putting forward research and information that at this time I know to be true from what I have verified. It is in opposition to what many of my colleagues are saying in the allopathic field for certain, but it's also in opposition to what, for example, the mainstream medical resistance is saying. The motivation of saying it doesn't matter how much people despise me, attack me, think I'm nuts, or whatever, is just this one thing. Imagine the worst case scenario. What if we're right? And what if people, two-thirds of the known world, are at risk to maybe be subject to a kill switch? You know, like a 5G turn on that interacts with this nanotechnology? Or what if there is truth to this? And we have a limited amount of time. We've seen mortality rates skyrockets. We have
Absolutely.
seen this died suddenly phenomena. We're seeing babies die with who got vaccinated blood transfusion. We see all-cause mortality go up. We see an accelerated aging. So I'm telling you, Madonna, do you think that my reputation means anything in
Exactly.
the light of such a potential tragedy? I'd say rather have half the world laugh at me, but I save some lives, than not do anything of what I know to be true.
Absolutely. It's like Dr. David Nixon. I was chatting to him one day and he said to me, he said, you can't unsee what you've seen. So when he's looking at that microscope and he sees those things appear, he can't not see that once it's there.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, again, I was trained traditionally. I did not know what live blood analysis. You naturopaths know about this stuff, okay? I had to catch up with what is common knowledge for you. And, but once I got the dark field microscopy, I was like, oh my God. I mean, what are these structures? What is this rouleau formation that now I am seeing also in unvaccinated blood? So clearly is this shedding phenomena, you know? Then I started looking into geoengineering, this whole idea that we're being exposed through these chemtrails, through food supplies, through other things. And all I can say is I am seeing this, and it is very concerning because these structures are huge. How is that compatible with living safely when you have a ribbon-like structure that is 1,000 times larger than a red blood cell?
What's that going to clog up, block,
And if I see it in one little drop, there's 6 liters of blood in there. How much of this stuff is floating around in people?
Absolutely.
And so this is where, my view came from of saying, look, I'm going to cover everything that I potentially know. I am still using ivermectin. You know, for preventative measures, for vaccine injuries, twice a week, 0.2 milligrams per kilogram. I'm still using vitamin C, vitamin D. I'm using nitric oxide. I'm telling people to do the NAC, quercetin, all that stuff. But in addition, I'm saying, look, I want to cover those metals. I want to cover potential hydrogel because Mike Adams showed he had investigated those long clots, and what he found was a carbon-based polymer with metals in them that was combustible. So these clots weren't human blood, but this is actually what hydrogel is. So what is hydrogel? There are components in these shots like PEG, and this in Moderna it is SM102, which actually create what's called hydrogel. And what that is, it self-assembles and it grows. And if it is exposed to a radiation field, for example, Wi-Fi or electricity, it can grow extremely fast, extremely rapid.
And SM102, it's actually listed in the patents as a device.
Yes, so the lipid nanoparticles are listed as a device, like Karen Kingston talks about. And she says, these things are not vaccines, these things are devices. And that's a really important thing because it falls under a different legal category. And she's been saying that for quite some time, and people are somehow not quite hearing what she's saying because a device, cannot be emergency authorized. You have to treat it completely different legally and should be withdrawn from the market.
Absolutely. Yeah, I remember Dr. Carrie Madej a couple of years ago did a half hour. It was one of the first ones I ever saw her do. And it was a half hour on all of the ingredients in the jabs because have you met Carrie? Do you
No,
know
I
Carrie?
haven't.
So about I think her story is like going back 8, 9, 10 years ago, she was invited to a local business group and they were talking about phones and how at some stage very soon phones were going to be able to read all of our bodily functions. And the great thing was going to be that it would know when we were telling lies. So if we were ringing and, chatting to someone, it would know and say, oh, Dr. Anna's telling me a fib because it's reading your data and it's reading my data. So she was in this group that were all excited about this, thinking how fabulous to have all of this information all uploaded, of course, to someone like, Billy Gates' city that he's building. So all of this information is being uploaded. So it's already there. So they already have access to our bodily functions. And that was like years ago.
And I think that that's a really, really important thing because, we have so many people who are not believing that there's technology in the shots, even though many different groups around the world are finding it. But I always say it's like, look, you cannot understand this war and this pandemic if you're not looking at from the context of the Great Reset, transhumanism, even geoengineering, and this plan that's been in the works for 100 years to to enslave humanity completely. And this is where Yuval Harari's talk comes in, because they have to say what they're going to do. And this is kind of like this lockstep, you know, contagion, event 201, declarative state. Just turns out that, you know, every little detail of what's about to happen in reality is being broadcasted. There's predictive programming in movies, etc. So what we need to understand is that if we don't look at this from this perspective of transhumanism, where they already told us that this is the last generation of human beings, that the soul and the spirit of the human is a thing of the past, and that they are creating unconscious consumers. And this is in addition to the whole depopulation plan. So what I've been trying to explain to people is that this is not someday, because these people know that the world is awakening to the evil that is happening. This is a satanic takeover, okay?
Yes.
And I think that what we're seeing now is we're actually retrospectively seeing that a lot of this stuff that people are talking about, the mark of the beast, it's like if you have a sender and receiver that's emitting a MAC address from you, you already have this structure in place. You know, and so I think that what we now have to do is realize in that context what we're dealing with and do everything that we can, educate ourselves like we are doing about nanotechnology, about nano engineering, what is
humanism.
Transhumanism,
yeah.
The background, the Illuminati, who's planned this,
yes.
And, you know, what is their mindset? If somebody just says, oh, this is just a psychopathic thing or whatever, you know, you don't understand. These people have no conscience. They would not care if they eliminate 2/3 of the known world, you know.
Yes. There's actually, in the British Museum, there is a letter from a General Pike back in the 1871. He was brought in by the Rothschilds to come up with a plan to simultaneously take down Christianity and increase atheism to such a horrendous space that it was so obvious that no man, woman, or child on the planet could actually not see it, so that they could bring in Lucifer, the light bringer, or the light bearer, as the one true God. So this has been, and that's the Rothschilds, and the letter is still there. It was a letter from General Pike to Mazzini, who was the revolutionary leader in Italy at the time. And when you actually sort of go, okay, there's a physical letter 150 years ago that and you can see this all playing out, and his plan was 3 world wars and 2 major revolutions.
So that's exactly right. And so what is important is you and I are scientists, right? So we're supposed to be doctors and adhere to some code of, you know, only talk about science and only talk about, you know, the little box that people are expect us to live in. But this problem is huge.
It's huge.
And it isn't just, you know, it cannot be explained. If you're just a doctor talking about myocarditis and the spike protein, you're not getting it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And you're missing a lot of the urgency. You're missing what might be happening, not just on the physical level about causing harm with these blood clots, but on the emotional, mental, and spiritual level when we're talking about the takeover of artificial intelligence, nanotechnology of the brain function of the human. And then if you go into the spiritual realm, which, you know, I've had a near-death experience, I've been out of my body, I know that I don't die, and I have full consciousness and of conscious awareness many times. And in terms of this, it's an absolute truth to me that once the body passes away, the spirit continues to live. And the problem is that if there's an electrical connection between the soul and the spirit and this body, and they're messing with it, with these electronic devices, if they're inserting things like if they can monitor your thoughts, what you were describing 10 years ago, they already had the ability to say whether or not you're lying or not. You know, they can measure brainwave function and all of that. That means they can also implant signals that you are not aware that these are not your thoughts.
Yes.
But if you are a spiritual being, then your thoughts and your actions get recorded in your soul, and you're responsible for that. And so what I'm saying is, this is huge. This is
Yeah.
like about the light of all eternity.
Yes. And if we think governments won't do it, projects like MK Ultra was for decades, putting how did they do that, do you know? Like what was the that was chemicals for the people in America, MK Ultra?
They did chemicals, they did ritual abuse, and they did such horrific things to people that it fractured their personality so that they were compartmentalizing,
Yeah.
these things. But you can use that in the super soldier program where, people's psyche can be and each personality can be programmed with a certain set of abilities, for example. And
Yes.
so the world that we have known, much of it is a lie. It's like a movie show that these elites put on for the crowds, right? And the reality, the uncovering of the reality of this transformation and engineering of society, of the emergence of Satanism, of pedophilia in the
Yeah.
church, of satanic ritual abuse, all of these horrendous things. If you understand that these people are involved in things like that, they have no moral values other
Yes.
than that they hate life.
They're psychopaths.
It's beyond that. They're Satanists.
Yeah.
So I think that us as clinicians, right, we have a certain calling. I mean, I know I have a calling. I have something in my soul that bothers me. I can't rest at night. I'm
Yeah.
bothered that I know what I know and I want to help the human species. It's
Yes.
not one specific person. People have their own personalities. We get along, we don't get along, whatever. But the right to live is as a propagating species that's evolving, that to me is worth fighting for. And then the other thing is that our planet is being attacked with these poisons as well, and geoengineered, and all our food modified. And so it's a complete, our entire ecosphere is being attacked at the same time.
Yes.
So we have to fight on every level.
So with the because obviously with chemtrails and the GMO and Codex, Codex Alimentarius, that sort of doesn't allow anything crossing borders unless it's been poisoned. So, and I heard Dr. Mike Adams say recently that he can't even get pesticide-free almonds from California, so California won't allow things out of California. Unless it's been poisoned now, even if it's organic.
It's very challenging. And so, for people, it used to be that preppers were again labeled conspiracy theories, et cetera. But now, you don't know what's in city water, from fluoride to all kinds of chemicals. The food supply is being poisoned, and they're spraying vaccines that are self-spreading and all of these things. So, once people kind of take in just the horror of the whole picture, it's like, what can we do? And we can do a
Exactly.
lot.
Yes.
We can do a lot. And what I think that we need to start with is this concept of self-responsibility. Okay, so if I can give people all the information, but you cannot make somebody else, choose something. Everyone has to be responsible for themselves. And some people choose to believe in the shot, some people choose to believe in the government and not see anything. And that's their choice. And In terms of this self-responsibility, then once you find out these things, then we need to do whatever we can to support our body physically with as clean food as we can, with as clean lifestyle as we can, with using, antidotes for some of the things that we discussed. For example, EDTA is a molecule that can help detox metals. You can chelate out, it works against the hydrogel. If there's graphene, it can have activities against that. Things like zeolite, things like glutathione, NAC, ionic foot bath, sauna. The other thing is our connection to our planet. So there's a resonant frequency that this being that we live on called Mother Earth, and she's a healer and she's being poisoned. But if you think about that, instead of, us connecting to our iPhone and the computer, et cetera, if I just go outside and I sit by a tree, and that will heal you. It will reconnect you to something that is truly human. And it's important to use all aspects of how to fortify ourselves against the assault.
Absolutely. And the other thing the satanic, the Satanists don't like is when we are connected and when we're having love and connection and communion with each other. They don't like that at all.
Absolutely. And I think that's really important, to connect, to allow, to understand. It's been very challenging, obviously, because you have families that are being ripped apart. Some believe in the shot, some don't, and it's a continuous aggravation. But on the other hand, I mean, I personally, I've made some friends all around the world, David, I talk to him like every other day, and he's in Australia, right? And so we're connected now. This is a whole different community that as we're moving forward, that like-minded people also join us, and this is a small world, and we are human beings. All of the lies that they tell us, that we're separate by religion, that we're separate by countries or creed or social status or gender or skin color, that's a bunch of
Or
bull.
we're unsafe to be closer than 6 feet apart.
Oh my God,
It's
that's just
crazy.
absolute nonsense. Nonsense. And that is the propaganda and the programming that is anti-human, that's trying to pit us against each other. And I debate, I discuss, I disagree with people, but the beauty of having the freedom to express and to still connect and appreciate someone else for their different mind, I think it's part of this human experience, and that we're not clones, we're not cyborgs. If we are all the same and we just yammer the same stuff, I mean, how boring.
Yes, exactly. We don't want Brave New World in 1984 to be factual, programs for the future, which of course they have been. It's very interesting looking back on them and where things are going.
Yes, absolutely. And I think, the other thing is, so I'm a trained internal medicine physician. You're a naturopath. I consider you kin in terms of our desire to help humanity. Our backgrounds in education are completely different, but I think that what we're demonstrating here is really what needs to happen, because the allopathic medical system was built through the military industrial complex, through the Rockefeller, through petroleum chemicals, and the lies of suppressing natural medicine cures and healing modalities that are frequency based, light based, that address the totality of the human being. That was part of the enslavement and the plan to make humanity sick. And so now, the reason why this is so important is, you have decades of experience, for example, in your field. And a lot of, the arrogant allopaths who were just dismissing naturopathy, like what I was saying earlier, I went and I took a class and I learned about live blood. You guys learned that in your naturopathic school,
Yes.
okay? So to be humble enough to say, I need to broaden my mind because a lot of what I was taught in medical school is a lie.
Yes. And I've been the same the last few years. Like I did my thesis on vaccinations 30 years ago. So
Wow.
yeah, so it was sort of like one of those things where it really opened my mind. I grew up and I was a doctor's chick. If I went to the doctor and I wasn't given a prescription and a name for what I had, I was always really disappointed. I was that sort of nincompoop. My brother's a GP, and I've got a cousin who's an anaesthetist, and they are both 100% for the agenda. Totally bizarre. And I think my brother's doing okay, but my cousin, she actually feels like she's dying at the moment. And she is putting her things in place just in case she dies rather than coming to see me. And I actually sent her a message and said, I'm working with some good people. We're getting good results. And I actually called it long COVID instead of vaccine damage, but just to sort of see if that would open the door. But I think she would rather die. I think her ego is so closed-minded that she simply can't see anything other than everything the government's told her for the last 3 years. And it's really dreadful looking at that. My brother actually abused a few, my mother died last year. And at her funeral, like the night of the funeral, we're all out the back having a few drinks, and he abused my son, my brother, my other brother, me, but I didn't hear him, for being unvaccinated and allowing mum to go around unvaccinated. And the whole thing was bizarre. We buried her today. She had breast cancer, for goodness sake. Stop it.
Yes, it's. I think it's very challenging what you're talking about because so many people are having heartbreaking experiences like that. But this is again, this fire of truth, that regardless of who is attacking us, and I think that what is the hardest is when it's people closest to us,
Yeah.
that we have to still be self-responsible and stay in our own
Yes.
truth. Because ultimately nobody's gonna die for you. So in terms of these things in regards to, for example, the shedding process or the nanotechnology and all of these things, I mean, we have to be open-minded enough to help ourselves with that. And I think, I mean, I almost died from whatever poisoning came down last year, and it showed me that my life is precious. I have to fight for my own life,
Yes.
and do everything I can. So I do my EDTA chelation, I do my EDTA cream, I take all of my supplements, I endeavor to be as cautious as I can because I want to live,
Yes, absolutely. I take oodles of supplements, always have. Yeah, absolutely. So there really is hope because some of these things are, we don't know what can reverse the mRNA damage, if anything, at this point, do we? Like there's At this point.
Well, so what I want to emphasize again was that the European Medicine Commission looked at the vase and found truncated RNA fragments, DNA, but there was only mRNA in maybe 50% of the vials. And then Sasha Latipova talked about the fact that these batches are so large and this little tiny mRNA molecule is so sensitive. There's no way that they could have manufactured millions of vials, with this mRNA. And so that's also what we're seeing. So my thought really is that, so if there isn't mRNA and there wasn't in maybe many people this reverse transcription, what else is in this body? So that we need to be aware of. So we know about the metals. We are concerned about hydrogel possibly somehow connecting with graphene, which graphene is just carbon monoatomic layer. We cannot see it, okay? What we see in terms of the structures that could be more explained with self-assembly hydrogel, which is what Mike Adams showed. Okay, so molecules like the EDTA can dissolve that. And I'll give you an example. I had a gentleman who had contacted me, who was a police officer, and he was forced to get the jab. And immediately after getting the jab, I mean, had just horrific, like he felt like his brain was on fire. He had neuropathic pain. His limbs were hurting. He had chest pain. This is a man who was always totally, totally stable emotionally. And he said all he could do was be in a corner and cry. And he had brain fog. He couldn't remember anything. He couldn't function. So he had contacted me. I put him on this regimen of nutritional supplementation. We use things like methylene blue, which is a it bypasses mitochondrial dysfunction and is able to give the powerhouse of the cell what it needs, because it really appears that there's a lot of accelerated aging that's happening with this long COVID.
Yes.
I do high dose vitamin C, which up to 10,000 milligrams, high dose vitamin D, all of these other supplements like NAC. And then he went and got the chelation therapy, and he only had two IVs. And then, we had a follow-up, and he was saying his anxiety went away. He no longer has that burning sensation in his head. He can remember stuff. His energy is back. His pain is gone. And this is only 6 weeks, okay? And so he's back working full time. So
Yeah.
what I'm saying is that in my office, for example, in seeing these structures in the unvaccinated, with one or two EDTA chelation IVs, the blood is clean. And then I give people the cream, and it stays clean. And then what I'm saying to them is do some form of maintenance also with the EDTA, like once a month the chelation. I use anti-aging peptides called Epithalon. I really think that's a super important thing. And so I mean, I see phenomenal results, and people are getting better, and the blood can be cleaned up. And so to me, why wouldn't that be something that other physicians should take note of, or people should take note of, that's outside of, the mainstream vax injury protocol, that doesn't look at people's blood, doesn't see whether or not there's a cleaning or improvement of the blood. And I just want to say that it's really, really important. That I thought that initially COVID, the virus story and the variants and all that. And then, that was not what I saw in the blood, And so I'm wondering actually, can I show you real
Oh,
quick
absolutely.
some of the images? So I'm going to share my screen here. And so here's what I was saying, that really 26 teams. Oh, let me just go on. Here, I'll show this on full screen. That 26 teams worldwide have investigated the vial contents, and they found all of these different metals: cesium, which is radioactive barium, which is also being sprayed in chemtrails; cobalt, iron, chromium, titanium, cerium, gadolinium, which is neurotoxin, even though it's a MRI contrast material; aluminum, it's a mitochondrial toxin; silicon, sulfur, tellurium, antimony. So these things, if you inject that in people, they're gonna have problems. And we have a colleague, she's a world-renowned nanopathologist, Antonietta Gatti. She published a paper that showed that that 44 different vaccines all had these undisclosed metals in them, and so she published that a few years back. And then these structures have been found, right? Squares, fibers, ribbon, self-assembly. There's graphene, definitely possible. You cannot rule it out, because it's if there's carbon in the vials, there can be graphene. And so this was Mike Adams' things, that the clot that people had, that the embalmers were finding, they're not made blood. They attract different types of elements. They're self-assembling carbon-rich structure, and they're combustible. It's clearly not blood vessel tissue, and yet there are all these people are out there, and they're saying, "Oh, the spike protein creates the clotting." No, that's not what this test is. And I think that what is so terrible in my mind, it will be so easy for people to verify this, and that people are refusing to do the adequate studies to give us the answers. So this is
Absolutely.
what we see in the shots, right? These ribbon structures appear, and then from the ribbons, these microchips do develop. This was initially what we was seen in vaccinated blood, these strange structures that other people like Clifford Carnican has seen, for 30 years. But there has been an uptick after the jabs were rolled out. And so this is what I've seen in my office, which is people. I was investigating the D-dimer as a marker for shedding, and I saw an exponential increase in people who were around vaccinated people, for example. So then I looked at their blood, and I found these structures that looked very much the same, and this rouleau formation. And this is, someone who had COVID about 11 months ago, and you can still see how the blood is clumping. And so this is someone who has, fatigue and brain fog and dementia-like symptoms. And here are these strange structures. And the way I know that that's not a contaminant, I mean, look at all the white blood cells that are endeavoring to eat this thing up. This is something that's been in the blood. This is a few minutes right after I put this on the slide. And in the background, you see this extreme fibrin and the red blood cells sort of deformed by this structure. This
And
is what I.
just sort
Go
of
ahead.
really quickly go back to the fibrin for a sec. One of the
Yeah.
things I, in both kinesiology and my live blood, I always talk about fibrin to people because fibrin is an acute phase protein that the liver releases when it's under stress. So if we are stressed, angry, or fearful, or upset, our liver can actually release it because it thinks there's a tiger in the room and it creates the fibrin to create clots if the tiger pounces. So then you don't bleed out and die and you can get back to your medicine woman to help you to heal. So fibrin is a natural thing normally if we are stressed. So once again, making sure we have community and love and connection and good things in our life, besides the fact that the satanic people don't like it when we do. But I thought I'd just mention that with fibrin.
Yes, absolutely. And then the other thing that's really important is if you're very acidic and you're eating processed foods and high sugar and wheat and things like that, I also see that there is much more toxicity with this fibrin content. And as soon as you alkalinize people and you tell them, drink lemon water and, cut down on your coffee and your meats and look at alkalinizing foods, a lot of this also gets better. And then I also use supplements like either Plasminex, Nettokinase, or Lumbrokinase, whichever people want to use, to kind of help lower these fibrin levels. But I think that the dietary, the lifestyle aspect, the de-stressing aspect is very important. I totally agree with you. And then this right here is a Meadows test, so after EDTA chelation, and you can see that. So what I've seen in my practice is, for example, barium levels have been through the roof in people, and that's being sprayed, aluminum as well. And then the other thing, uranium is being sprayed, so people are radioactive. And then other metals, you cannot test for graphene oxide, but clearly, when you pull this stuff out because it's synergistically toxic, it really helps the body to regenerate. And then this patent showed that EDTA actually dissolves the hydrogel in about 30 minutes. So this is the kind of stuff that I started seeing in unvaccinated people, And then, I check people after a couple IVs, and then I don't find any of these structures, which is wonderful. And I've replicated that now a lot. This is very consistent. But here's the point that I wanted to make about COVID. I thought, okay, well, I don't know, virus or spike protein or whatever. But it turns out that what I see now is I do live blood analysis, and right after COVID, the blood is just full of these structures and absolutely clumped up with this Rouleau. So now I'm like, this is definitely a toxic phenomenon, and
And people might not even realize that this Rouleau, like you can see one red blood cell there. Point to the little red blood cell down the bottom under. There's one red blood cell. Yeah, that one. That is a red blood cell. So anything, and the capillaries are the size of a red blood cell, about 6.2 microns. So anything bigger than that can cause clotting. So
Yeah, and
look at that structure.
if you think about it, I mean, look at this thing, how huge this
It's massive.
is. And then your red blood cells are supposed to give off oxygen. They're supposed to float around like just this one little cell. And if they're clumped up like this, how are they able to give oxygen to the system? So this is why people's oxygen level on their finger or on the pulse oximeter may be fine, but they're totally tired. They feel like they've aged 20, 30 years. Their brain doesn't work. And this is what I've seen in my office. I'm just gonna stop sharing here. Is so I use a technology called the Wavi Brain EEG. And what's very interesting about that is it gives me an electrical map of the entire brain. So it shows me where specifically there's dysfunction or low voltage. Low voltage goes along with neuroinflammation, for example. And then, I can test people for things like the whole idea of how fast are what is their processing speed. And so I've seen that in the hippocampus area in the temporal lobe, people had substantially decreased normal voltage. Let's say if a normal voltage is, somewhere around, 12 microvolts, it was like 0.5, and the rest of the brain looked normal, but they had short-term memory problems that looked just like dementia. So a 30-year-old. It seemed to me clinically that there was a very targeted effect on the brain, and that can be reversed with things like, methylene blue and these other supplements and peptides that I talked about.
Dr. Richard Fleming, I think, or might have been Sherry Tenpenny, one of them was showing, once again, supposedly, because we don't know what's real, but they were showing the full virus for that supposedly was being created by the computer for all of Pfizer, Moderna, the four J&J and AstraZeneca. And the only part that was identical with all four was the prion component. And prions cross the blood-brain barrier and, connected to mad cow disease. So it was sort of,
Yes, and even now they found a sequence in the spike protein that actually produces hydrogel. So it, what this is, so it's gain of function, right? So it's a DNA sequence that was made to make something that isn't even physically usually made, which is this carbon structure. So you can get, a yeast to make petroleum. You can, this is synthetic biology. You can encode just about anything into a chain. And then what I think is also important to understand, so let's say if there's mRNA, they put this pseudo uracil in there. Pseudo uracil is like a letter that doesn't belong in the DNA human alphabet. It's just synthetic. And so all of a sudden, if you think about your DNA actually gives off photons and phonons, and there's a communication that's electrical, that's biophotonic, and you have something there that is off It's not playing in the same sheet of music, if you're understanding what I'm saying. It's completely
Yeah.
disharmonious. So how is that actually affecting, the all in all of the organism? It's there are so many questions with this. Again, the emergence of synthetic biology and then artificial intelligence, and changing the human into this version 2.0. It's very, very concerning.
Yes, you only have to listen to Yuval Noah Harari for 2 minutes and you'll know what's going on. It's just shocking. And they're talking about it. Like you say, they have to say what their plan is. That's the rule.
Yes. So I think that going forward, what is most important is, again, regardless of how much pressure people have in their families and their friends, you need to be responsible for you.
Yes.
And if other people don't agree, then allow them to be. But ultimately, imagine that if this, whatever decision you take, if that's a life or death decision, that carries a lot of weight. And so I think that this aspect of self-responsibility is very important. It is allowing other people their decisions, but going on your own path. And then you research what jibes with you in terms of, finding your own truth and following that, and watch how it's evolving. We're all studying, we're all learning constantly. There's something changing. What I said 6 months ago is no longer applicable today because, things are just so different, and many people are endeavoring to find solutions, and so you just keep up with what you can.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you have, because they are hitting us from every direction, our food, our air, our water, our obviously the jabs, transfection, shedding, do you feel like there's hope moving forwards?
I think that there's a lot of hope because that I believe that people are more open to seeing what's going on. A lot of people know people that have died, and we've had documentaries like Died Suddenly, and there's those of us who are endeavoring to wake people up. I mean, we're just constantly at it, and I think that the information is changing.
Yes.
So what I always say is human beings are brilliant, and if there is a problem, there is a solution. What it requires of us, if you think about that, this technology has been probably developed in black projects for like 20, 30 years, okay? And so now we, as scientists, have to catch up with our minds and our studying, on a scale that is pretty substantial. But we're brilliant, and we're tenacious, and we collaborate together. And so, are we evolving? Absolutely, in that. And do I believe that there is goodness in the universe that will provide help and solutions? Absolutely, I believe that. Just as there's a satanic agenda, there's a divine agenda that's
Yes.
all about human beings waking up and transitioning out of slavery. See, the thing is that it's not like these Illuminati, Satanist, globalists have just been around for 5 minutes, and they've been around forever, and it's like, now people are waking up to the fact. It's like peeling back the curtain, and we are about to create a whole new human species. I'm not talking about transhumans or cyborgs. I'm talking about, what is it really to be human? And maybe we're valuing that more. We're making more decisions. We're finding new healing modalities, free energy. There is
Yes.
so much that was held back in the evolution of humanity because of this horrific brainwashing. I think that we need to rebuild our entire society. Get
Yes.
rid of these governments that are all on there trying to kill us.
Yeah, and we're getting so close if we don't really push back, and everyone needs to be pushing back in every little way they can. Because these, you know, with the G20 a month or two ago, that the document that all of those leaders signed was just hideous. If this goes through, which it will, if people don't say, as Dr. Rima said this morning, don't you dare. If people don't say that to their governments, we're in for a shocking fuse. She actually has a website called PreventGenocide2030.org, and there's an Act Now button, and people can actually use her website to send information to all of their politicians. And she has been on the front line, you know, for 20 years about everything from Codex to World Homicide Organization. What you call them? World Holocaust Organization. And the Center for Disease Creation. Yeah.
Absolutely. And, Dr. Rima, she's amazing. Dr. Rima Leibel, she's a dear friend. And also, what she has brought forward is to really explain to people that the United Nations have planned 500 vaccines per person until 2030. And so, if people are not waking up, this is the most critical time in human history. If you don't stand up, all of humanity is gonna lose,
Yeah.
And I think that again, so human beings are fearful creatures. They're social creatures. They don't want to get out of their comfort zone. We're at war and we're fighting for the survival of humanity. We need to stand up because the enemy is at the door. And
Yes.
The war is being fought with nanotechnology that you cannot see the enemy because it's in the air, you inhale it, it's poisoning you, and you don't know. And so you have to stand up, every single person. That's the only way that we as humans will survive, is we together stand up and say no more of this.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And my immune system is my responsibility. My cleansing my body, my responsibility. The government is not going to do it. They don't care. Our government is denying our damaged vaccine injured people. They always have. We're unlike the states. How much have you guys spent, like $4 or $5 billion on vax damage over the last, you know, since 1986 or whenever it was? But everyone, you know, for every one person, there's probably 1,000 others that have been damaged that haven't got a payout. We have nothing like that in Australia,
Yes.
except until now. And they actually allowed vax damage from 6 months old for the COVID jab. So they've started to change because they're starting to realize, oops, well, they probably aren't, but it's at least
But
in
you
my.
know how much money is worth a lost health for a life? If you got
Yes,
a
yes.
neurological condition or other
Yeah.
things like a heart condition, I mean, it's like this isn't even about money,
No, not at all.
There's nothing more valuable than our health, our quality of life. It's just unfathomable. We need to stop these poisons. There's nothing else to say about it.
Yeah.
And then we need to have the appropriate research to see what exactly is in these vials in massive investigations,
Yes.
not just a few, and then really, address all of the toxicities that we can. So I think that's what needs to happen. That's what we need to continue to do. And again, everyone has to fight on every front. And so that's what I would say. And
Awesome.
I so appreciate that you let me, that we have this discussion. And again, you're in Australia, I'm in the United States, but we're totally connected. We're totally on one page. We're doing the same thing in terms of endeavoring to help our communities. And that's really, we're not separate. We're really
Exactly.
one in this effort.
Yeah, and love and light is bigger energy than fear and anger, you know. So, yeah, shine the light and let the darkness out.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful. That's been so fantastic, Dr. Anna. You're a champion.
Thank you. You too. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.